In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. The church for us today marks, gives us the reading of the Treasures Sunday. And as we know, each Sunday in the Holy Great Fast has a certain title and has a certain theme. And this is rightfully the first Sunday to tell us about this journey that we're going to take. And I think as I mentioned before, the journey of this great fast is kind of like the journey of our life. So God wants to remind us, or the church wants to remind us, of certain things as we journey through this journey of life and journey through this journey of this holy great fast. Last week we heard of how the church told us during these 55 days we're going to do three things. We're going to pray, we're going to fast, and what else? Give alms and charity. Very good. And then today's gospel reminds us where we're going, reminds us of the destination that we're going to take. It's just like, you know, if we're planning on a vacation or whatever, like the day before, or the day we'll make sure we have everything in order, we'll make sure we have our boarding passes, we make sure we have the hotel reservations and everything arranged. So the church kind of does that for us today. And it tells us to, and reminds us what the purpose of our journey is. And that is, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things added to you. This is the latter part of the gospel. The first part talked about, you know, where we should store our treasures. We shouldn't store them here. We should store them in heaven, and not to worry, things like that. But I think what I want to speak about today is this verse that says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So when we speak about seeking first the kingdom of God, we have to consider, what is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God in my mind? Our Lord Christ, when he began his ministry, he told them, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what do we understand from this verse? Is the kingdom of heaven some foreign place that's, you know, way up there and we're down here? No, but he says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Christ himself is the kingdom of heaven. Being in communion with him is the kingdom of heaven. And that's why, you know, we are able here on earth to live in the kingdom of heaven from now. We partake of his body and his blood. We have communion with him. We died and rose with him in the baptismal font. So we can have communion with him. So he is the kingdom of God. Do we think we can, or do we have this idea in our mind that the kingdom of God can be something foreign to Christ or foreign to the Trinity? Some of us think maybe the kingdom of heaven is like earth, but just, you know, better. There's no corruption. It's just a nice place. We'll eat what we want. We'll have all of our needs fulfilled. But that is not the idea of the kingdom of heaven. If we think that the kingdom of heaven is anything outside of God, we're greatly mistaken. Our Lord also said to the disciples, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there is, I am the way, the truth. No one comes to me, or no one comes to the Father except through me. So he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he also says, I am the resurrection and the life, as he said to Martha. So he is the resurrection. So in order for us to go to heaven, guess what? We have to have a relationship with him. And that's why he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. So heaven is nothing outside of God. And the beautiful thing is that David the prophet in the Old Testament saw this. What does he say? He says, whom have I in heaven but you? Do I think I'm going to go to heaven and enjoy the angels and the saints and not, you know, be consumed in your love and consumed in the presence of God? No. If heaven and earth, you know, pass away, our faith and love for God won't. Because that's what's going to last forever. So when we go to heaven, we're not going to want anything else but God and him alone. Yes, we'll be in the presence of the saints and angels. It will make for a nice environment. But we're going to be totally consumed in God's love, his infinite love for us. And he continues and says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none on earth that I desire besides you. So to him, whether in heaven, whether on earth, all he desires is him. So David actually fulfilled this, you know, command, where he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. This was a priority in his life, and all these things, the kingdom, the victory in war and things like that, all of these came as secondary to David because he sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So when we speak about our fasting, we're fasting now. The purpose of our fasting is to get closer to the Lord during this time, to have a deeper relationship with him. And the closer we get to him, the closer we start to resemble him. You ever heard the saying where people say, you know, about a married couple, when they live together for so long, they start to look the same? I don't know if there's any truth to that, but sometimes I've noticed it. And I think because they start to have the same mannerism, they start to mimic one another. So the longer we live with the Lord and be in communion with him, people will see us and says, yep, that's a picture of the Lord Christ. He looks just like him, his mannerism, the way he acts, the way she acts, her kind words, her gentleness. All of these things make us look like him. We have to notice too, it says, seek first the kingdom of God. And then St. Matthew, in his record of it, he says, and his righteousness. So if we take out the first part, the kingdom of God, seek first his righteousness, or seek his righteousness. What does it mean to seek his righteousness as God's righteousness? What does it mean to seek his righteousness? What is righteous? Something or somebody is righteous is somebody that is able to fulfill the moral obligation of God's commandment perfectly. And there's none righteous except for God and God alone. So when God tells us to seek his righteousness, is to seek him and to seek his perfection, to seek the perfection of life. We have to be reminded of the commandment that the Lord says. He says in Matthew 5, verse 48, therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. You shall be perfect. So this is something that we should strive for, is perfection. We shouldn't be content with the check mark of I attended church today, I prayed my morning prayers, I read my Bible, and I'm done for the day. We shouldn't be content with that, but we should strive for perfection. If I have an anger problem, correct it. Work on that. If I have, I mistreat my husband or my wife, let's work on that during this fast. Whatever it might be, we need to seek perfection and to seek to mirror Christ in our life. St. Paul tells the Romans, he says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So he says the kingdom of God is not food. The purpose of our fast is not to diet, not to lose weight, not to abstain from certain foods. But what that does is help us discipline ourselves, help us in that pursuit of perfection. And he says here, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy, seeking to live a righteous life. We can ask ourselves, am I righteous? Has anyone accused me or can anyone accuse me of something wrong that I have done? Can I live myself so that no one accuses me of doing wrong to them? That's what we should strive to be. Peace. Was I peaceable? Am I a peacemaker at home? Do I let things go? Do I, nitpick with my friends and my coworkers? Am I a peacemaker? Do I disturb the peace in other people? Whenever I come, do I feel like the people around me, as they say in Arabic, bitnakidu, yani that I'm like every time I come, everybody around me is yani mitnakid, or if they're not hitnakidu, what is it? And is my presence a peace among my brethren? And is the peace that I have, does it permeate to those around me, or the opposite? Joy. We can ask ourselves, did I bring joy to somebody in this day? Every day of this fast, we should try to bring joy to someone. You know, the Bible tells us when we fast to wipe our face as if we're not fasting. So we need to be that source of joy. Not people see us, oh, what's wrong with you? Oh, son, I'm fasting, haven't eaten all day, misharif e. But we should try to be the source of joy for people. And this is what giving is all about, is to let God's you know, radiant glory permeate and radiate through me. The beginning of the verse says, seek first the kingdom of God. So here, God puts the order or the priority. Setting my salvation should be priority number one. Seeking first the kingdom of God should be priority number one. And rightfully so, because when compared with eternity, this temporal life that we're living is extremely short. And as St. James, you know, tells us in his letter, chapter 4, verse 14, he says, for what is your life? Is it even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away? So when compared to eternity, our life here on earth is just vapor. It's like making shea or making tea. You know, when the steam comes out and you turn it off, it's gone. Compared to eternity, that's what our life is, just vapor. So it makes sense to invest our time now in something that is eternal. Makes sense. So what competes for the number one spot in my life? What is in competition? Is it my career or my profession? Is it my success in my particular business or my profession? Is this the most important? And I will, when the things that are most important, we tend to sacrifice some other things for. So if my profession and my career is the most important, I will sacrifice, you know, maybe other people. Maybe we will slander other people to make them look bad so I can elevate myself among my peers and among my bosses and my teachers. Is my profession or my career in competition? Many people, unfortunately, they don't put attending church on Sunday as a priority. I know people who, when they go to interview, or went and interviewed for a job, they made this as a condition, is I need this week off for Holy Week. From the very beginning, before they accept the terms of, you know, of employment, said, this is a week that I'll need every week. You know, is that something you can accommodate? If they said no, then he would walk away. So this is a person who's putting his spiritual life, his salvation first. If my job requires of me every Sunday and every time we have a liturgy to be working, then we need to reconsider. Am I seeking first the kingdom of God? Also, some people put the accumulation of wealth and money as being their number one priority. They'll spend hours and hours investing in stock market, checking this and, you know, making sure this is this and that's that. You know, people even, you know, for the sake of pursuit of money will go gamble and say, let me, you know, I need to try to get as much money as quickly as I can. And it becomes addicting. So what do I do? What am I giving up for this pursuit of wealth? Am I giving up my family? Am I giving up my husband, my wife? What am I giving up for this? If this is our number one priority, let this fast be the time where we reevaluate things. Let's put God first and not mammon or money. Some put pleasure as being first. Why don't we come to church? This is my only day off. I have to sleep in. You know, I don't get to sleep. Their own pleasure, their leisure, you know, their rest. Some people put their own, you know, body before God. Sometimes even family. The Lord says in Matthew chapter 10, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. By no means does this mean that we shouldn't love. Nowhere does it say we shouldn't love our family. On the contrary, the scripture tells us we should honor our father and mother and to love the brethren. But this here isn't just a matter of priority, a matter of ranking. So it doesn't mean that we should only do one and discard the rest. No, we can do one, both. But when it comes to priority, which comes first? God or my family? God, he's saying, I should come first. And sometimes service can even become a priority. Service, if we seek service for maybe the wrong reasons. As we know, the story of Martha and Mary, when the Christ entered into their house, Mary sat at his feet to hear his words. And then Mary complained to the Lord Christ and said, how come she's not, you know, helping me serve? And he said, and the Bible tells us, Martha was distracted with much serving. So her abundance of serving, yes, it was good. Yes, it's needed. Yes, it's wonderful. But it shouldn't distract us from that communion that I have with Christ personally. If my service affects my spiritual life, my individual Bible reading and prayer and confession, then there's a problem. Then who am I really serving at this point? So putting God first is what he's asking us today. And we look at when we put God first, what does it mean? It means to prioritize him as first. How many of us have 401ks at work or something to invest in? Most of us, if we work in a corporate America, we have some kind of 401k or some kind of investment plan. And when you invest in something like a 401k, when does that money come out? After you've paid all your bills? No, but actually you get your check with that deduction already taken out. So that becomes our priority. So the same thing, when I plan my schedule every day, my prayer and Bible reading, are those permanently in the schedule and everything else I fit in around that? Or do I fit other things in and then I try to squeeze in prayer and squeeze in my Bible reading? And if I don't get to it, God is merciful and he'll have mercy on me. Which is the priority here? The priority means it's taken out first. First things out. So putting God first, just like it is with a 401k, is an investment, but it's an investment for eternity, the kingdom of God. And we say the word seek here, seeking is an active process, something that requires us to do something, things we do rather than things we don't do. Sometimes during the fast, we get caught up with the whole food thing. Oh, we can't eat this, we can't eat that, we can't do this, we can't do that, the things we can't do. But the things we can't do are just maybe 5 or 10% of what really fasting is about. But fasting is about doing. As you heard last week, it's about prayer, something we do. It's about giving alms and charity. That's about something we do. It's not about so much of things that we don't do. And actually, the Pauline epistle of today reminds us very well of that. It says, today's epistle came from Romans 13. It says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law." So the church is telling us that during this fast, we need to love. We need to do something. We need to express love, compliment somebody. If I have something against somebody, reconcile with them. And then he says, love does no harm to his neighbor. Do I harm my neighbors? Do I speak slanderous words against them? Do I gossip about them? I might even curse them in their face. If we fast and do these things, our fasting is worthless. Our fasting is worthless. Our fasting has to be coupled with good deeds, with love, with compassion, with mercy. I'll just read, for the sake of time, and first you can read this at home. You go home and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. St. Paul speaks about love. I'll read the passage, and when you go home, you can meditate on them. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So, when we love, we start to mimic and mirror Christ. And then in the rest of the epistle of today, it also told us, and do this knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. So in today's epistle tells us, today's the time. Today's the moment to wake up out of sleep. If I haven't loved my husband or my wife, or I haven't loved my neighbor or coworker at work, today is the day. Now is the time to arise and wake out of sleep. So we can ask ourselves the question, when it comes to loving and seeking, which comes first? Do I put him first and then I love him? Or do I love God and then I put him first. Actually, it can work either way. It can work either way. In the case of St. Paul, he loved him first. And as we heard in the Acts of today, it was about, you know, how St. Paul was met on the road to Damascus. He said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord?" He says, I am the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you are persecuting." So then he had that encounter with God, and he loved him. And from then on, it was him and him only, and he was first, even before his own body and his own well-being. But for us, sometimes we need to put him first. For us, we were baptized first, and then we later understand, you know, about God. As children, we don't understand. So we enter first with that leap of faith, and we put him first, and then we start to experience his love. So it can work either way, but for most of us, putting him first will be our first step. And then you'll see his response to that, and you will enjoy a communion of love with him. So this seeking of the Lord and his righteousness came with a promise. And he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things will be added to you." What are all these things? All these things. The part before that, he was speaking about the food, the clothing, not worrying what we will do, where we will live tomorrow, what husband am I going to marry, what wife am I going to marry, where am I going to live, what career am I going to have. All of these things fall under "all these things will be added." All these things that God sees that we need and that are provided by him. So they will just fall into place very easily if we first seek him and his righteousness. All these things shall be added to him. Sometimes we have a problem with believing his promises. I heard a nice story once of a pastor who was telling, you know, his congregation about tithing and things like that. And then a lady came up to him and told him, "You know, Pastor, I have a problem with tithing because I'm scared that at the end of the month I might need this money. I don't make that much money. I might need it." So he said, "No, you know, have faith. Don't worry. God will provide, and you know, he'll provide everything you need." She's like, "No, but I can't." She's like, "Okay, I'll make a deal with you." He's like, "You give me the tithe, I'll hold on to it. If you need it at the end of the month, I'll give it back to you." She's like, "Okay, I think I can live with that." And he's like, "You are trusting me, human and flesh, with this money, or with your, you know, your well-being. How much more so will God take care of you?" So brings home the point. Who are we putting our trust in? We believe in his promises. And the scripture tells us that when the Lord promises, he's sure to fulfill. St. Paul tells us, he says, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us." So all of God's promises are yes. It's never a question. It's never like, will he not? No, it's sure, yes. So finally, is there competition in that number one spot in my life, in that number one priority? As we begin this fast, let's trust him, let's love him, and let's seek after him. And seek after him for who he is, not for what he provides. And finally, in conclusion, another verse from the epistle of today. St. Paul tells us, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." So he tells us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Don't worry about the things of the flesh. Those things will take care of themselves. But as I said in the gospel today, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Can we say it together? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.